This is God's Word. Now, on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, "Go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees, to make booths, as it is written." Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Each year in May, we celebrate Memorial Day. I want you to think about that day for just a moment by way of introduction to this passage. Here in our own congregation here in Stillwater, we often gather together for a Memorial Day picnic. You might remember that we met out at the lake this year, and the kids especially enjoyed the water park, and there was some wiffle ball and lots of really enjoyable food and lots of fun together. But there's something behind that picnic, right? There's a reason for a Memorial Day. The reason for a Memorial Day is to remember those who have died in military service. That's something that we mark, especially as we pray to bless the food at our picnic. But it is rather easy to forget the reason and just enjoy the picnic, isn't it? We gather together and we have lots of fun, and Memorial Day seems to revolve around the fun that we have at the picnic. How easy it is to forget to remember. How easy it is to forget to remember the price of our freedoms, the lives of those that have been laid down for us. It's very easy to enjoy the picnic, but to never remember the reason for the celebration. Something very similar happens in Jerusalem, here that is in the account of Nehemiah. God had a reason for the different feasts that were celebrated throughout the year by the Jews. Each one throughout the year celebrated and remembered a different aspect of their redemption. Here we have a description of the Feast of the Tabernacles. It highlights the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt and God's provision for them as they journeyed to the Promised Land. And yet it appears that they forgot some of the reason for the season. They forgot to remember. Today, I want to prompt you by this passage that God has given His Word so that you would remember your redemption. I'm going to tie it especially to the sacraments that the Lord has given to us, because there is a natural tie. The sacraments of the New Testament are in some ways a fulfillment of the feast days of the Old Testament. I'm going to tie it especially to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, for in it, Jesus Himself said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." So I'll be charging you today to remember. I hope that's a catchy way to summarize this passage. I'm going to begin by noting here a renewed obedience that is part of the work of God's Word in our lives. Last week I pointed to the fact that when God's Word enters, that it has an effect on the people of God. In the first part of chapter 8, we noted that there was reverence towards that, towards the God, to God and to the Word that He has given to us. That there's repentance. The law of God prompts us to respond in repentance. And there's reassurance. God promises forgiveness of sin. And the Word of God helps us to recognize that. As we go on now in chapter 8, we find that God's Word also produces renewed obedience in the hearts of the Jews. They responded by looking carefully at the law of God and wanting to know and understand it. And they find there that they were to observe the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they observe the details and the reasons for that. And so they respond by renewing their obedience, by renewing a heartfelt observance of the law of God. Once more, I would have you notice the theme here of God's pattern in worship being upheld. Nehemiah and Ezra looked very carefully into how God had instituted worship, and they followed the pattern that the Lord had given. In this case, they found that the law that was given by Moses through the Lord's command that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And there are a couple of things that underline the fact that this was according to the pattern of God. If you read through those verses again, you'll find that it's commanded by Moses, that they did this as they found it written in the law. And then at the very close, that they had a solemn assembly as was according to the prescribed manner that God had given. I'm going on in a moment to look more closely at the meaning of the feast. But before I do, let me emphasize the role of the Word of God to prompt you to remember. The Jews responded to what they read in the Bible, and this happened in the context of that covenant renewal of what Nehemiah was bringing about. They acted to remember their redemption. They acted to renew their obedience to that law of God. In the language of the New Testament, James says something similar. He says to you as a believer to not be just a hearer of the Word, not just someone who hears what God says, but also someone who does what the Word says. Do not be just hearers, but also doers of the Word of God. And James gives a very memorable illustration of this. He says someone who just hears the Word and doesn't do is like someone who looks in the mirror and turns away and forgets what he looks like. So it'd be like if I got up this morning and I rubbed my eyes and the sleep out of my eyes, and I looked in the mirror and I go, huh, I got food in between my teeth. I better brush my teeth this morning before I go to church. And I turn away from the mirror and I grab my toothbrush and I think, now what was this for? I can't remember. Oh well. And I walk away and I come to church and I have this big thing in between my teeth, this big piece of food in between my teeth. Someone who hears the Word but doesn't do it is like that. He looks in the mirror, he turns away and forgets. He does not remember to do the Word of God. God has given us His Word for many reasons. One reason is that you would remember. That you would remember your redemption in Christ and then live that redemption out. Live it out in in the actions of obedience. Live it out in the putting off of what is old and putting on of what is new. God saves you, and He sets you free to do that. And the Word of God helps you to remember your redemption and to live that out. Well, let's go on now to look at the Feast of the Tabernacles and its significance. In your bulletin, on the back of the bulletin, on the outline, you'll find the Feast of the Tabernacles, and I'm going to go over several supporting points here to help you understand what this is all about and how God gave this feast so that you would remember your redemption. So the Feast of the Tabernacles was one of the three great feasts. In the pattern of the Old Testament worship, God appointed a certain number of special feasts where all of the people of Israel were required to come to Jerusalem to celebrate that feast. There were also some other special days, but there were three where everyone was required to come. They were part of the ceremonies of worship that were commanded by Him. And they were marked in a way to help the children of Israel to remember their redemption. There was time set aside for them to go over their history so that they wouldn't fail to forget what God had done. The different feasts focused on different aspects of that redemption. And God used them to make something of a memorial day, a day to remember what God had done. And the language of what we use as our confession of faith, the Westminster Confession of Faith, God has given us some signs and seals to help us to understand His work of redemption. These signs and seals are specially attached to the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'm connecting them here already because as we move from before Christ to His sacrifice and to the New Testament church, these New Testament sacraments are in many ways fulfillments of some of the rites of the Old Testament. And the signs and the seals are given to us as remembrances. A sign points out what Jesus has done. A seal guarantees that work of redemption on our behalf. For the Old Testament, there were three great feasts, and in them we have signs and seals to help us to remember the work of redemption. Secondly, within this celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, from the Old Testament law, we also find a Day of Atonement. It's not mentioned here by Nehemiah, but the feast also observed the one great day in all of the year when the high priest would go behind the veil of the temple into the most holy place. The high priest would go and to make sacrifice for sins. And that was the only day out of the year that that happened. We presume that Nehemiah and Ezra observe this day as well, but they don't tell about it here. That's because Nehemiah had some specific purposes for what he's writing. Remember that his account and Ezra's account tell different aspects of the story. Nehemiah's purpose was to show how the Word of God renewed their remembrance, renewed their obedience. So he lets certain points go by the wayside so that what he tells would support that purpose. But it is a Day of Atonement, and we remember that. Thirdly, it's a day of there is rest and worship that is proclaimed. At the beginning and end of the festival, the gathered people would have a solemn assembly day, a day of rest, a day of worship. Nehemiah here calls them a day of sacred assembly or holy convocation. Fourthly, they were to build tabernacles. And on your outline I have a series of commas. because this celebration actually has several different names. It is sometimes called the Feast of Tabernacles, sometimes called the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Shelters, or the Feast of the Ingathering. Tabernacles, booths, shelters, those all have to do with the buildings that are made. That last phrase, the ingathering, locates this celebration in the time of the harvest. As they were studying the law of God, they see that in the seventh month, the feast of that seventh month was associated with the harvest. And so very naturally it would be called sometimes the Feast of Ingathering. In fact, when Moses recorded how this was to be observed in Leviticus 23, God commanded them to gather in, to bring an ingathering of the harvest, and from that harvest to bring offerings to God. That was part of the celebration of this Feast of Tabernacles. There's a connection as well from the bounty of God to then also bless those who go without. We saw that in the last passage where Nehemiah tells them and Ezra tell them to go and bless those who are in need around you. Here is that sense of the bounty of God of the harvest. And it's the harvest that seems to have been emphasized by the celebration that was going forward. But it seems like the Jews had forgotten another aspect of that, which leads us to the fifth point here, that the tabernacles were set to remember the Exodus, to remember their deliverance. This is probably the most significant part of this passage, is the use of the tabernacles, or the little booths that were constructed. I can imagine that some of you, some of the children of the congregation, have built some booths in your backyard. I know that over at the Yost house, there used to be in the corner of their yard a structure that was built from branches and leaves and twigs, and you could do all sorts of things in that shelter that they had built. Have some of the other children built something like that? I imagine you have. So you gather together whatever you can find, and in your backyard you build something. Did you ever spend the night in your little shelter? I hope that you do sometime. Sometime you camp out in your shelter. Here God told them that they were to construct these types of shelters and live in them for a week. They were to live in them for a very specific purpose. This wasn't just because it was a fun family outing. It was to help them to remember, and to especially remember their deliverance. This comes through in what Moses recorded in Leviticus 23. He says, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." The booths were to be a reminder that God delivered them out of their slavery in Egypt. God brought them out and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't have homes that they could go into each night. They didn't have beds in a nice cushy hotel that put them up overnight. They couldn't get on their phones and find an Airbnb out in the wilderness. There wasn't anything there. They lived in tents and shelters and temporary types of homes. And God was with them. He was the one who delivered them out of Egypt. He was the one who made them to live in those booths. And to remind them of that, every year there was a memorial day, a memorial week, where they would build these booths to remind them that God brought them out of Egypt. And in this telling in Nehemiah, when the people remembered this, they did what God commanded with a great zeal. I like the way Nehemiah describes it. They spread out into the countryside. They go into the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. They gather all the branches that they can find. They come home and they build these booths all over Jerusalem. And just think about walking through Jerusalem, and on every housetop you find a shelter. And in the courtyards, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the water gate, and just everywhere you go, everyone is celebrating the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it's not just those people who live in Jerusalem. Remember that the Lord calls all of Judah, all of the people of God, to assemble there. And so all of those visitors that came from afar did what God commanded. And there was a great celebration across the whole city. It's filled with these temporary shelters. And it said they rejoiced throughout this whole week. This too is in fulfillment of God's word. They were to remember and to rejoice. Deuteronomy 16 gives a longer telling of this Feast of the Tabernacles. You can read about it on your own, but of a special importance here is that God says, "You shall rejoice in your feast." And here is that context of remembering redemption. Remembering redemption. It came in the words that we looked at last week when Ezra says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." They were prompted by the law to repent and to weep. But the law also encompasses grace. It points forward to Jesus. And so Ezra explains and says in exhortation, "Do not just weep, but rejoice, because the Lord is your strength." And in the memorial week of the Feast of the Tabernacles, God led them to remember and to rejoice in the redemption they had from Egypt. So why am I making such a big deal of this? That's because in verse 17, Nehemiah goes on to say this: "For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so." Not since the days of Joshua had there been this celebration. Nehemiah's purpose at this point is to show how God's people responded to his word. And all throughout the days of the feast, he marks how they gathered together to hear the word of God read and explained. They were yearning to understand that. They came and they renewed their obedience in the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they did so especially remembering their deliverance from Egypt. And that seems to be the important point here. They built shelters to remember their deliverance from Egypt. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament records, you would find that the Jews had celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. So it can't be that they had not celebrated it at all since the days of Joshua. During that period, they had celebrated, but it seems like they built the booths, they lived in the booths, because there was a practical reason to do that. There's description of them building booths for the harvest. It would have been very a very practical thing for them to do. They would live in the fields. They would build these temporary shelters and live in them during the harvest. And those tabernacles, those booths, then bore a significance about the harvest. But there's more that it seems that they left out. They left out the connection to the deliverance from Egypt. It seems to have shifted just to a celebration of the harvest. They forgot to remember. They forgot to remember their deliverance and observe the feast, but missed remembering. In reading the law, they remembered. They took to heart the command to rejoice that God had delivered them from Egypt, that God had provided for them in the wilderness. And that brings us to the application that I would like to set before you today. We receive God's word and it prompts us to remember our redemption. I said earlier that we ought to not just be ones who hear the word of God, but do the word of God. In a sense, anyone can just go through the motions. Anyone can have an outward appearance of obedience, or in this case, an outward appearance of worship. And Nehemiah especially applies these words to worship, or what we would call the sacraments. They observed the ceremony, but they missed the meaning. And this can happen to you too. You could go through the outward motions of worship. You could go through the outward motions of celebrating the sacraments, and especially the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and yet miss the meaning. This seems to be a tendency especially associated with the sacraments. In the history of redemption, God gave us these as a way to help us to remember. To help us remember the redemption that He has purchased by Christ. And so today, as I apply these words, especially to the feast of the Lord's Supper, let me point out three ways that we take steps to help us, to help remember our redemption. And the first, let me point out that we never celebrate the sacrament alone or by themselves. The sacrament is always accompanied by God's Word. The sacrament is always accompanied by God's Word. And so if you think about our celebration of the Lord's Supper that we observed last week, it was not just the giving of the bread and the cup that took place, but I also read and I preached from God's Word. The tendency is that if you are to celebrate the sacrament all alone by itself, to disconnect it from the words of remembrance, to disconnect it from the promise of redemption. And there is a tendency in the things that we do them just by rote, without thinking. I don't think much when I brush my teeth in the morning and in the evening. That's because I do it twice a day. You do it without thinking much about it. We connect the command of God with the observance of the sacrament. Secondly, I explain the sacrament. I read the words of Christ about the supper. I explain how the elements represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the tendency when the observation is just practiced without that explanation, there's a tendency to find the power of the sacraments in the elements rather than finding the power in Christ, rather than finding the connection of redemption. So I explain the sacraments. And thirdly, we have the sacrament monthly rather than weekly. There's something similar to the feast in the Old Testament in the way in which we have seasonal times of remembering what God has done. Something that's repeated every day or every week loses something of the aspect of a memorial. For instance, just imagine if we celebrated Memorial Day every day of the week, every week of the year, every month. Every day is Memorial Day. And every day we come out to Boomer Lake and we have a picnic. And every day we toss the frisbee around and I see some people nodding and say, hey, that would be great. But if every day was a Memorial Day, we would soon forget what Memorial Day was all about. We would forget to remember. I could quote a movie here, The Incredibles. The children might remember that the bad guy says that his goal is to make everybody special, because when everybody is special, no one is special. And there's a sense of that in God's plan and purpose for reserving special days to remember redemption. The grace is the same. The grace is always what is ministered to us. It's the grace of Christ. But in God's plan and in His purpose, there are certain seasons where there is preparation and reminders and remembrances that are made. And so we as a congregation do not celebrate every day or every week, but we have special seasons. We celebrate once a month so that there would be a true memorial, a remembering of our redemption in Jesus Christ. In these ways, the Feast of the Lord's Supper becomes a genuine memorial. Now, it is more than a memorial, and that may be a subject for another day, but Jesus did indeed say, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. And so, as we come together to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, pay attention to God's Word. It's connected with the sacrament for a specific reason. It prompts you to remember. To remember the redemption purchased by Christ. To remember that the Son of God became man to take your place on the cross. To remember that God Himself has accomplished your forgiveness. To remember that He gave you His Spirit to stir you up to believe in Jesus, to repent of your sins, and to turn to Him in faith and repentance. It is a time to remember. And so I pray that you would not fail to remember, that you would not forget to remember, but instead that, prompted by God's Word, that you would remember to remember. To remember your redemption in Jesus. Please bow with me in prayer. O Lord God, thank You that You have given us signs and seals to show to us the redemption purchased by Christ. We thank You, God, that You have explained that so carefully and so clearly in Your Word, and that You have also stooped to make them known in tangible ways to us in the sacraments. Now, Lord, we acknowledge that it is easy to just go through the motions. And especially as we celebrate the sacraments, to fail to remember. So, Lord, I pray that as we apply this word to our lives, that You would cause us to remember Remember today, by the preaching of your word, that you have redeemed us in Christ. And may we with joy celebrate that. For Lord, you have brought us not out of Egypt, but out of the slavery to sin. And especially, O Lord, as we celebrate the sacraments, as we remember what we celebrated last week, may we do so with joy. May we reflect on what you have done in our lives. May we anticipate what we will celebrate in a few weeks. May we remember the redemption that you have given to us in Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. In Psalm 118, we sing of how we bring together the sacrifice that is provided. It's a psalm that we often sing in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, and for good reason. It points to the body and blood of Jesus, the sacrifice for sins for us. And so with joy, let us sing Psalm 118, Selection E. Please stand to praise God.
The gates are made, the gates of righteousness, and I will